5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy Anelli here with another amazing Croc podcast for our amazing cancer survivor slash thrivers, Angel Santana. Half faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, happy Sunday, my friend.
Happy Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We forgot to mention that it was somebody's awesome birthday for the month of April. And I believe, who was that? Let me think. Do you have any suggestions of who you think it is?
No idea.
It was Tommy Anelli. Happy birthday, my good friend.
Thank you, my friend. I feel like I'm 20 years old and I'm ready to rock and roll. And we have a really great episode today. Angel, remember back in the day, we did a bunch of podcasts called Confessions. And these podcasts were maybe an event that happened in the clinic or something I observed either personally or through a colleague about how the medical team didn't hit their best or hit the high note. And we bring it back here to the podcast because the practitioners need some guidance as well. We try to give support every week to our survivors, and that's certainly appropriate that we do so. That's the whole reason why we're here. But one of the ways that we could support our survivors slash thrivers is to also be able to look back on certain things that could be done better. And even though it's a bit embarrassing, I think it's important for us to review how we can do better and how we could avoid certain pitfalls. Because at the end of the day, I'm sad to say, but it is the truth, and we give our survivors the truth. Doctors make mistakes. Nurses make mistakes. Your healthcare team makes mistakes. And that's a human trait. And it's really good that we evaluate these mistakes, or I won't even say mistakes, because mistakes give the impression that something was done incorrectly. But rather than mistakes, perhaps just how we could have done things a bit differently, perhaps better.
Absolutely. And for those of you that are automatically thinking, wow, I didn't get this episode, I didn't see this episode, I didn't hear this episode, go back to episode 11, Confessions module. It's an awesome episode. It was, the original air date was actually May 2nd, go figure, 2021. Oh, wow. So we're about doing pretty well there.
Yeah. And like I said, gladly, we don't have to do this every week, but it's really nice to do it. And again, this is for our survivor thrivers, of course, but also for the people that take care of our survivors. So today, what we're going to be talking about is how to avoid falling asleep at the wheel, or how to avoid complacency in your practice. And I think that it's, a really important point because complacency seems like a really harsh word. And you would think that when a doctor goes to work or a nurse goes to work, it's just, like being an astronaut with a huge, rocket underneath you, and you're being, shocked into action, like in an emergency room code or whatever. But believe me, that's not the way it is. There's a lot of, dead time, and there's a lot of, frenetic pace. And sometimes the pace isn't as frenetic. But either way, what you all, assume is happening isn't generally what's happening. It's like the movie version. And there was a guy I met about a couple of months ago. We'll call him Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, when I first met him, he had a malignant brain tumor that was very, very serious. So it was the type of brain tumor that's a deadly diagnosis. So we knew that Mr. Smith was not going to do well. But what I did on that first encounter was I just let him talk. He was a very, very intelligent, articulate man, and he had some great stories about when he was in school and he was being discriminated against because of the color of his skin, and how he was at Syracuse University and how a professor was not going to, no matter what, let him pass. And he went to the dean, which was a courageous thing to do in those days, and ended up getting transferred to another great university. I don't want to give too much personal information, because I want to keep him anonymous. But at the same time, I just wanted to emphasize that when he came in, he was a walking, talking, vibrant individual. And from that point to 2 months later, he's on hospice. And I wanted to say that it wasn't so much the treatment, it was more the disease that forced that quick, rapid decline. But we could have served him better during that period of time and been able to have done things a bit differently that I think would have made his life or whatever life he had left of a higher quality, as well as his partner slash wife's life as well. So there are some pitfalls, Angel, that we're going to talk about, and a lot of them have to do with complacency. So the first thing I want to just point out is a type of mindset. So when a doctor or a nurse or a practitioner starts thinking things statically, and static is a word which means just one point of view and keeping that one point of view and not changing it or letting it be a dynamic point of view, but just focusing on one specific thing and not changing your position, even if some of the data points change, that's very dangerous. So in this case, the patient has a certain type of very aggressive brain cancer, and you set him up for the standard of care treatments, which was chemotherapy pills and radiation, and that was all done perfectly, and there was no problem. But then my mind never changed after that, even though there were some circumstances that changed in the case. Number two is that we are human. You know, when you go to a restaurant and your steak is burned, or they give you the wrong drink, or they give you a soggy meal and you send it back. Sadly, there's not a lot of difference between being a doctor or a nurse or being a chef or anything else. We like to take the path of least resistance. And in a case where you're doing a plan and then you execute the plan, you're focused on that plan and you want that plan to be executed every day. And it's making a change in the plan. It's like that plan has gotten, has derived a life of itself. And it's starting to roll down this really steep hill. And what we need to be able to do is realize that even though it's just really simple to just let things continue, we need to make the courageous choice to say, hey, things have changed. Let's stop and rethink this. And that's a hard thing to do, to try to stop that momentum. And then the other thing is, I think that, it's really important for doctors and nurses and practitioners to keep a sense of skepticism, always be questioning what you're doing and why you're doing it on every single patient, on every single case. Never lose that, hey, why are we doing this again? I'm watching this Mr. Smith every day getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And it's like, okay, well, he needs to keep going. We have to keep pushing this. We have to keep pushing. This is what we have to do. This is the standard of care. This is the cookie cutter. This is what we have to do. Instead of just kind of being a little bit more skeptical and say, are we really, why are we doing this again? Okay, let's review. Okay, this is the standard of care, but, circumstances have changed. Also, we have the cry wolf syndrome. So many times we're listening to people say, hey, have you really thought about maybe making a change on Mr. Smith? Maybe change his number of days or change the way you're doing things. And then you listen, but you hear it every day, 100 times a day, and 99% of the things you hear, are wrong. So someone's telling you, hey, why are you doing this? I think you should do it this way. And then you say, well, I'm doing it this way because X, Y, and Z. And they say, oh, okay, now I know why you're doing it that way. And then that happens a million times. It happens all day. But every once in a while, when someone makes a comment, it's going to be actually accurate and it's going to be helpful and for the benefit of the patient, which brings me to that whole, deaf ear. Don't turn a deaf ear to your team. I learned very early in my training that nurses have some of the greatest insights and things to say, you know, sometimes are more valuable than even a doctor's evaluation. So if a nurse has something to say, or, you know, your speech therapist, or your physical therapist, or even, you know, the dosimetrists and the technicians and the technologists and the physicists, dosimetrists, even your front desk, you know, can make a great observation about a patient. They might be a little different or behaving different or more withdrawn. Use all the resources around you, you know, to help you, become, you know, more focused on what your patient needs. And then you have to remember, there was a great movie a couple of years ago called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And the culprit, or the villain, the murderer, right before he was going to try to murder the main character, who was Daniel Craig, by the way, he said, it never ceases to amaze me that people who know that they shouldn't go in my house have a feeling or an instinct that they shouldn't go in my house, or feel some harm will come their way if they come into my house. They still come into my house because they don't want to be thought of as rude or impolite, or, to say no. And I think that that's a really important insight as a doctor or a nurse, because you have to be able to, you know, maybe become unpopular and say no, or if the patient and the family are saying, no, we want to have the strongest treatment you have, and you're saying, well, you're entitled to that. And that's all well and good, but it's not really benefiting the patient. You're really benefiting, you know, a thought process or an outcome that's not realistic or is not going to happen. So we should keep an eye on that type of behavior. And you have to really realize that you do have a reliance on your practice extenders, like your nurse practitioners or your physician assistants, but that doesn't mean that they're in charge of your case. They're there to help you with your patients, but they're not there to take your patients away where you don't have the responsibility of their care anymore. You always have the responsibility of their care, but sometimes you become too busy, or sometimes you're too reliant on your extenders, and that could sometimes cause you to lose some of that skepticism or even some of that, you know, that connection with that patient. And the other thing is that we have to try to avoid we want to be pastry chefs from Paris. You know, we want to be where every pastry we make is never the same twice. We don't want to, you know, industrialize our croissants. We don't want to make the cookies exactly the same and have them look the same. We want each cookie to be a little different and taste a little different and have different ingredients or whatever. And you never want to just practice cookie cutter type of medicine. So we talk about issues, which we're talking about now, about this particular patient. But Angel, the way we always try to come up with different strategies to try to prevent that type of situation. So I have 12 strategies to try to stay frosty and not complacent. And let's start with that, stay frosty. If you remember Alien, the movie Alien, Aliens, when the Marines were about to land and have to go to war against the aliens, the one guy just said, the guy who was in the Terminator 2, I forgot his name, he said, hey, stay frosty out there. That means you're always like on your toes. You're always like you're a soldier in war when you're taking care of cancer survivors. It's your job never to let your guard down. It's your job to always, you don't have to look intense, but you have to be intense. You have to always, always be ready. You know, each corner you turn, each time you're walking down the hall, there's always something that possibly can happen that you're responsible for. So you're not a soldier in peacetime. You're actually a wartime soldier. And I have in my office, I have hanging from one of the walls, the Notre Dame plaque that says, play like a champion every day. And the football players go down into the tunnel to go onto the field and they all touch that plaque. And I put that in the office particularly to try to avoid becoming complacent and always to be frosty and try to be a champion for your patients every day. And don't believe your hype. You know, so Angel did this beautiful podcast to wish me a happy birthday and tell me how I influenced his life. And I really am very grateful and that he did that. But at the same time, you know, I could also fall into a very normal human thought process that, hey, you know, maybe I am like the coolest dude ever. And maybe I am, you know, this or that. And maybe I really don't have to stay frosty because, you know, of what all the nice things people are saying. But believe me, you make one mistake, all those nice things will disappear like a puff. But, you know, the truth of the matter is don't believe your hype. Stay humble and always remember that you can be grateful for all those kind words. But remember, you have to make those kind words ring true every day, every second, every minute, every patient. You have to really prove yourself and you can't, you know, just rely on what you've done in the past. I always used to, as a resident, always talk about the grassy knoll. So when President Kennedy rounded the bend, you know, in Dallas, Texas, and he was going into the tunnel, there were some shots coming from the grassy knoll, as a matter of fact, coming from quite a few different areas. But we always, you know, talk about the grassy knoll as the kill shot. I always use that analogy in medicine, where there's always someone around the corner in a grassy knoll looking to make you look stupid or make you make a mistake or make you do the wrong thing for your patient. And you always have to recognize those grassy knolls in the care of your patient. And you need to embrace the discomfort that you're going to have to, you know, face when you do have to make a change. And when you do have to explain to a patient, I know I told you this, but that no longer applies. And believe it or not, people have a hard time understanding that. It's like, but you said, they can't get off of that. But you said. And you want to say, well, I did say that. And that was completely accurate at the time, but things are changing and things are dramatically becoming different. And now we have to make adjustments to that new specific thing. And boy, I'll tell you, there have been times I pick up the phone and I would hang up the phone and pick up the phone and hang up the phone because I would have to tell a difficult patient, oh my God, you know, we're going to have to do something different or things aren't going the way I wanted them to go or whatever. And sometimes you just have to, you know, be comfortable in the discomfort. And you always, going back to the nurse practitioners and the primary, you know, the other practice extenders, you can have people help you take care of your patients, but you are always responsible for keeping your hand on the pulse of your patients always. And you should always double check everybody's work, double check your own work. When I was a young doctor at my first job, I used to come in on Saturdays, not even to do any work, but to look at every single chart. You know, I was young, I was paranoid, I had OCD. I just wanted to make sure that everything was perfect. And it was a really good success, you know, habit to go in every Saturday for a few hours and go through every single chart and make sure everything that I did in the beginning was still relevant to what was going on with the patient. And, you know, that's something that's really, you know, an idea for doctors and nurses, you know, to always review their cases and always double check the work of your colleagues. You know, you're also responsible for what the medical oncologists are doing. The medical oncologists are responsible for what the radiation oncologists are doing. And the medical oncologists and the radiation oncologists are responsible for what the surgical oncologists are doing. So everyone's work has to be double checked, not just yours. And you also have to constantly, you know, evaluate and reevaluate and do QA on all of your patients all of the time. So it should be part of your practice behavior is to do that. And the most important point is making those adjustments no matter what, no matter what the outcome, no matter how angry people will get at you, you have to make the adjustments if they're appropriate. And you have to drop your ego, you know, because it's really not important if you look silly or stupid or you look like you don't know what you're doing. Because again, you know, medicine is the same, going back to that same hamburger or steak. I mean, you know, it's so many different nuances and so many different changes you have to do. You have to make those adjustments and drop your ego and lean into your instincts, lean into your experience. All the tricks you learned over the years, use them. That's why you're still in practice. And I always say doctors that are a little bit on the older side, as long as they're staying, you know, relevant and they're staying up to date on all the new stuff, might be the best doctor to have, because they do have all of those tricks up their sleeves. And I think shame on us, the ones that don't use all those tricks. So for example, how this case should have worked was that we talked about COVID and all the bad things COVID did to us as worldwide, you know, global partners, right? All of us humans, you know, even though we're from different countries, we all suffered by losing friends and losing family members and going through the process of COVID. But one of the things that COVID did that was great was, especially in oncology, is it availed certain protocols to us to shorten treatments. So people wouldn't have to come into radiation for 9 weeks or 8 weeks or 7 weeks. We were able to come up with algorithms during COVID where patients were coming in for 4 weeks or 5 weeks instead of 9 weeks or 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks. And what should have happened here, and what I think I could have done that could have made this patient's, you know, the outcome was going to be the same no matter what. The patient received standard of care. Great. Does it make me feel better? It doesn't, because I could have been able to watching him every week deteriorate and no longer be capable of being the storyteller that he was, you know, should have been, hey, why don't we change his program instead of, you know, from the standard of care optimistic treatment plan, why don't we go to, you know, the COVID protocol and have him come in for only another week and call it a day, you know, instead of having to have his decline, you know, so apparent that we ended up going from treatment to hospice, which is not ideal. That was not the point at all on this case. And we should just basically look at those hallway observations and always look at, you know, what's going on with our patients. Like, we should be able to be like, you know, Indian scouts and be able to look and see things. We need to see, like, your man, you're Superman, right, Angel? Your guy is Superman. We have to be able to see through those walls, right? We should have those instincts and be able to see those things and make those changes and make those adjustments and present each case multidisciplinary every week. And we did that actually on this guy. And, you know, for some reason, there was sort of like a group, you know, like a group mirage. I think we were all hopeful that he was going to do better, you know, rebound and, you know, come back and, you know, start getting better and better and better. And, you know, we failed him at that level as well. But the outcome would not have been any different. That's for sure. The patient received standard of care, but I still think, as part of, you know, my hope to help practitioners, is to be able to keep your hand on the pulse of your patients. Don't get complacent and stay frosty no matter what. Angel Santana, you always get the last word.
You know, I heard a couple of big words in here that really stuck to my heart. And it's really, you know, being humble. And I think that this is a great lesson for all of us to be humble, to own. I never use the word mistakes either. To own the opportunity to make things better so that you can get stronger each and every time you attempt it. And I think this episode will enforce that and also relay to other people, I think from all different aspects, especially in the medical field, that it's important and it's your duty to do that for your patients.
100%. Angel, thank you for everything. Again, thank you for that beautiful podcast, for my birthday wishes. I really appreciate you, and you are so good to our survivors. And thanks for everything you do for us. Also, in your podcast, Have Faith, Let It Begin, everybody, please check it out. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up, thanks, my friend, for being so awesome all the time and getting the podcast together and getting the website together so all of our survivors have access to all of these podcasts. And again, go back, you know, if you like this one about confessions about how doctors could do a better job for you, there's a couple of confession episodes somewhere in the past that I'm sure you would enjoy as well. To the board of directors, everything you do for our survivors, trying to make this product the best it can be. We're going to be having dinner in 2 weeks, and it's going to be terrific. And we're hoping to be able to make some more changes, continue right this to the, with the theme of today's podcast, but continue to make the changes and adjustments we need to the podcast to help you guys have a better survivorship. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your support and belief in our process here at the Croc Podcast. And of course, we always end with our pep talk to our survivors. You guys are listening to a podcast about how your medical team needs to always look at your best interest, not their best interest. You are listening to a podcast about sometimes the imperfections in the people taking care of you. And I want you to learn from this, as well as I want my colleagues to learn from this, to know that you're part of the decision-making process. You're part of, you know, the input that your doctors and nurses and care and team need to be able to individualize your care. You are part of the process where you are the whole reason we go to work every day. You're the reason why we get out of bed. You're the reason why we have professional satisfaction. It's because we want you guys to do well. We not only want to cure you, we want to cure you with a great quality of life, and we want to give you the best treatment that's out there in the universe, even in our community hospitals, such as Angel and I work at, or a big tertiary care center like Memorial Sloan Kettering or MD Anderson or whatever, or whether you're really out in the sticks and you're in this small little, one floor hospital, you know, with an old accelerator, or you're practicing in Senegal or you're practicing in Sri Lanka. It doesn't matter. We still want you as cancer survivor thrivers to have the best experience you can, because at the end of the day, you guys are special. You are heroic. You are strong. You are amazing. You are tough. You are worth it. You are loved. You are supported. You are not alone. You are a fighter, and you got this. On behalf of Angel Santana, the entire Croc Board of Directors, we always end the same way every week, wishing every single one of you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.